Hi guys, lovely to see you all and to be able to be here and share with you from this exciting next letter. If you've got the passage open in front of you, it's really helpful. You can kind of pick things out and we'll go through it carefully. Again, what we see here is that Jesus is sending a letter to his church through John, and he identifies himself at the very beginning, that first little section, as the one who is the first and the last. The one who has died and is alive again. And in many ways, this is a really important introduction. He is introducing himself by identifying, particularly with those brothers and sisters who have been put to death already and those who are facing persecution because they're following him. It is Jesus who identifies with all of us being willing to lay down our lives. And he wants us to know that his promise of eternal life is secure and real. In many ways, he's starting off with this way of saying, I am with you. I am one who has experienced the pain and the suffering of persecution. It's a love letter to a hurting church. And so that's how he introduces himself to the believers in Smyrna. Smyrna itself was another prosperous Roman city. It was another harbour-based community where passing trade brought with it great wealth and political influence. The city itself was built into the side of a hill, and the surrounding architecture of the city made it look like a crown. Perhaps that's why Jesus particularly uses that illustration and that metaphor, although also obviously there is the reference to crowns that will be given in heaven as well later on in Revelation. The population here was large, diverse. It was 100,000 people, Romans, Greeks, Jews, Christians, people of all nationalities and all religious beliefs. The church operated alongside other worshipping communities in the city, including a synagogue. And it is this synagogue in particular that Jesus suggests is the source of the persecution of the church in Smyrna. They somehow have managed to say something slanderous about the church, and this has inflicted or damaged the reputation of the Christians. And perhaps that mention of poverty and affliction is a suggestion that the persecution has led to financial implications, especially. Perhaps whatever these accusations were, there's extra taxation from the Romans, or the loss of property or business or money. The details are not quite so important. What we really need to know and to be aware of is that their suffering was both physical and financial. It was also spiritual. This letter makes it clear that the suffering of the believers in Smyrna is known by Jesus. He knows what they have already experienced. He also, as the first and the last, the potentate of time, the one who knows it all, has that eternal perspective that he sees what is coming. He knows that they are going to be persecuted by being imprisoned for 10 days, and he wants them to be ready for that. He wants them to have that time to prepare in their hearts for what is coming. In this suffering, Jesus is calling them to be faithful, to endure it, even to the point of death. Now, I'm sure you can imagine that this message must have brought a mixed emotions to the church. I'm sure that they heard in it that promise of the victor's crown, but they also would have struggled, like any of us would, with the idea that Jesus was asking some of them to be ready to die. Not many of us in the Western church have to deal with that question. Are we ready to die? Are we willing to die for our faith? But there are those around the world who risk that and face that in their very lives by following Jesus. We perhaps have seen the horrific and violent acts of persecution against the church, which have somehow ended up on social media. And it's incredibly challenging and powerful to watch these people refuse to reject Jesus, even though they know it is going to cost them their lives. What perhaps is even more amazing is that the church in places like China and North Korea, where this persecution is perhaps at the worst, these are among the fastest growing churches in the world. Why is it that people, when they know that they risk their very lives, are particularly called and committed and willing to follow Jesus. There is something about this church that is really difficult for us to understand because we are comfortable and free to follow Jesus in our country. Perhaps it's appropriate that we're looking at this passage so close to VE Day as we remember and pray that we won't have to face that same situation where people willingly gave their lives in war. Perhaps not only the soldiers that we remember on VE Day as we celebrate the end of that world war, but also those innocent civilians who willingly gave their lives to protect Jews or to try and fight against the hate that was the cause of World War II. They were willing and ready to do what was right, even though they knew also that it might cost them their lives. Somehow, Jesus is calling his church, and this includes us, not just those believers in parts of the world where they are literally being persecuted for following him. But for us too, there is a call from Jesus that his church needs to be a group of people who are ready and willing to lay down our lives for him. We talked last week about the love that is from Jesus, the love that he's calling us to, not just a human love, but a supernatural love for one another. And that same thing is true today as we speak about commitment and the willingness to give ourselves completely to Jesus, whatever the cost. Perhaps we can understand that on a personal level in terms of speaking up, being ready to talk about our faith and our love for Jesus and our trust in him, especially in such a difficult time internationally. There will be some, perhaps our work colleagues, our friends, our neighbours or family members who simply cannot believe in a God when there is a global pandemic killing people. There'll be those who question our faith and those who reject our prayers when we offer them. And there might even be some who reject our friendship and walk away from us because we continue to believe in and follow Jesus. These small examples of testing experiences give us a glimpse into our own hearts. And there is a revelation going on in us as well. Are we willing, are we ready to put Jesus first in our lives? Whether that means we have to lay down our reputation, our popularity, our friendships, whether we have to lay down our promotion at work or other ways in which we show that we are determined to make Jesus our priority. I wonder, just take a moment and reflect on your own life and your own experiences. What are the things that you have laid down in order to follow Jesus and go where he has called you? Earlier in the Gospels, Jesus explained that although suffering and persecution are terrible experiences, Jesus doesn't want us to be in pain, but he does call us to endure suffering and difficulty for the sake of the gospel, because he says that this is a place where he can bestow the most blessing. Now, sometimes losing something for Jesus, laying something down, letting go of a dream, a hope, a particular friendship or other things, when we lose those things, the experience of that can bring us new perspective and sometimes even greater freedom. Jesus says that these experiences make us stronger in our faith and closer to him. We've seen from this letter that Jesus himself identifies with those who are facing death, and somehow he is able to draw them nearer to himself. We too sometimes experience that we are drawn nearer to Jesus in suffering than we are near to him in comfort. But most importantly, Jesus is calling us to search our own hearts, to consider and allow him to reveal what is our willingness to sacrifice for him. Because in the end, what it was with the church and what it was in Smyrna and is now for us today in the UK, a powerful witness to Jesus, to the world. They can see, therefore, that we love Jesus more than we love our own comforts, that we love Jesus more than we love our own needs and indeed our own life. There is no greater witness to the world of what it means to follow and to love Jesus. I want to relate this same principle to our life as a church at New Hope. There isn't a major problem. Our lives, our everyday lives, going around doing everything that we ordinarily do. That's not what Jesus is talking about. We attend our Sunday services, we gather on Facebook, we go to small group or join in with prayer triplets. Perhaps you go on Christian conferences or camps, or we watch other things online. There are many ways in which we express our faith, which are good and helpful and healthy and true. But this is relative easy commitment to Jesus. And sometimes here in the UK, our faith can look more like a hobby or a special interest group, rather than something radical and worth dying for, something that changes us, that shapes us, that is identified in our whole life. I've been reading recently a book by Francis Chan called Letters to the Church. And it's a very challenging book. I'm finding myself deeply challenged by the things that he says. But one of the things that he talks about when he references this is that following Jesus should be sacrificial for us in some way. And he goes so far as to say that if it's not sacrificial, if there isn't something that we have had to lay down in order to follow Jesus, then we're probably doing it wrong. Now, I'm not suggesting that we rush out either as individuals or as a church and do radical things and cause problems or troubles in order to be persecuted. But I do think that Jesus is saying something to us about what it looks like for us to be committed to him and ready and willing to give our whole lives for him. Jesus himself paid for us. He paid for our life, for our freedom, by dying on the cross. And he did so in order that we might be free to live for him. Paul, in his letter to the Galatians, says it this way. He says, "It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." Galatians 2:20. And I think this is the crux of it. The real question is, Jesus was asking the church in Smyrna, and he's asking us today, are we willing to die to ourselves and let him live our life? What would our life look like if Jesus was living it? And perhaps that it can be expressed in the way that we think and choose and decide how we will live each and every day in our ordinary circumstances. Perhaps some of these questions are helpful for us. Do the people around us see our love for Jesus in the way that we lay ourselves down for him, for each other, or for the kingdom of God? Are we ready to let our own needs and wants wait, or perhaps even die, in order to see God's purposes and plans bearing fruit in our lives? How might we let Jesus speak more radically into our life as a church family, so that collectively we might lay down the things that we enjoy in order that Jesus would shape and direct what we do and who we are? Are we ready to be sacrificial in our feeling of offence, or our disagreements with each other, or begrudging others what they have, our weariness in times of trouble, our own agenda? How might we be called to demonstrate more of Jesus' humility so that we can shine his light more brightly? The promise of Jesus to the church in Smyrna was that this death, the death of surrendering ourselves, of dying to our own needs and wants, is the most painful one. If we go through that surrender, if we can die to ourselves and let Christ live in us, then the second death is nothing at all. This is the perspective that changes things. It changes my experience of suffering too, because it shows me that suffering is actually liberating, even though it's hard. And so as we do think about our brothers and sisters around the world today who are experiencing persecution, and we remember those from the past who have given themselves in order to give us freedom, we can be reminded that Jesus himself, who was the first one to really express and go through this in the deepest way possible, we find that he is our source of life. He is our source of hope. So that whatever sacrifice he calls us to make, he will also bring us alive. And we, like the church in Smyrna, will receive our victorious crown. Persecution is hard, but Jesus called the church in Smyrna to be willing to face it, endure it, and remain faithful to him, remain Christ-like through it. And so we too, as we seek to be the church that God is calling us to be, look for Jesus' strength, so that he and the Holy Spirit in us enables us and equips us to be ready and willing to give ourselves for his kingdom, whatever that looks like for us. Let's end with a prayer. Suffering Jesus, we bring our comfort before you. We say sorry for the times we have let fear or pride be an obstacle to our faith and willingness to sacrifice for you. Help us now in this time of national crisis to find ourselves utterly committed to trusting you, sharing you with others, and living our whole life for you, even unto death. Be with us, Lord, in our spiritual battle, so that we know how you are shaping and moulding us through it. And we pray that you would be especially close to those who are persecuted for your name today, our brothers and sisters in China, North Korea, Sudan, Afghanistan, Somalia, Libya, Pakistan, Eritrea, Yemen, Iran, India, and many more places. May they know your strength and grace to lovingly continue to speak your truth even to their enemies. And may your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as in heaven, Jesus, as we seek to be people who are ready to sacrifice for you. We pray in your name. Amen.